Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. I'm so glad you decided to join me today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a real estate investor, one-time real estate agent, podcaster, web designer, and internet entrepreneur. He built, as well as being the founder and CEO of, the online real estate networking platform, Bigger Pockets. The platform now has over 330,000 members. My guest is also the CEO of Bigger Pockets Publishing Division and has co-written and published two Amazon bestsellers. He's the co-host of the Bigger Pockets podcast, which is the most highly rated and reviewed real estate podcast on iTunes. The podcast offers both educational content and interviews. Now, let's hack Josh Dorkin. I want to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks, for making my life easier. What is the one thing that I am no good at? I am horrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. But now, rather than losing the receipts and handing my accountant this giant, messy box of papers, FreshBooks has this amazing app for my iPhone and lets me instantly just take pictures of receipts and sort them by touching a couple buttons. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners like you and me. FreshBooks integrates directly with three things that I use every single day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have another very, very special guest, Josh. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
Absolutely, my pleasure. All right, Josh, we're going to jump straight into this. Josh, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I don't give up. You know, I think as an entrepreneur, you're always going to be battling some kind of, you know, some kind of fire. There's always a fire to put out. There's always something going on. And it's easy to give up at some point. It's easy to say, you know, this, especially for solopreneurs and, you know, small businesses, it could get really stressful. So I think being able to have the mental fortitude to fight through the hard times is really one of the keys to being successful. And I think if you talk to any entrepreneur, they'll tell you that it's not all flowers. I mean, there's always going to be that downtime, and you know, the people who crumble, and a lot of people do crumble, you know, are out of the game. But you know, if you can fight through it and survive and persevere, then obviously you're going to be around.
Excellent. And so there's always a fine line though, right? Between like the fortitude to carry on,
yeah,
and the self-awareness or realization when what you are pushing into is not working for a reason.
Sure.
Do you have a way of deciphering between those two?
Oh man. You know, I think it is going to be different for everybody, right? So for us in our business, we launch products on our platform, you know, that whether we think that they're going to be successful or our users tell us that they're going to be successful, and sometimes they're not, you know. So an example, we had built this chat tool into our platform. Our users were ecstatic. They're like, oh my God, we're dying for this thing. We want it so bad. And we're like, you know what? It'll add value. The users will love it. It'll keep them around a little bit longer. And so yeah, we were excited to build it, and didn't cost us an insignificant amount of time and money, but we put it together and we realized that lo and behold, nobody cared. And all those voices shouting out, yes, I want this, they didn't use it. And that happens a lot, especially in, you know, tech and internet companies. You listen, you know, it's really easy for people to tell you what they want. And sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong, sometimes your gut is wrong, sometimes they're going to give you the wrong information. And at some point, you have to make a decision. I mean, it's really hard to decide. I mean, but at the end of the day, you got to go one way or another. You know, a prime example would be this product I think we've heard of. It's called G Plus, which just, you know, got separated from YouTube yesterday. You know, they thought that was the right decision. They thought that was the Facebook killer. They were kind of going for it and it didn't work. And that's fine. And Google's going to be around tomorrow to fight another day with another product against another competitor and, you know, build another market. And for us, the same thing applies. The chat didn't work out. Nobody really used it. And so we decided to kill it off, you know, and it is what it is. Sometimes, you know, for me, I'm saying it in this kind of passe kind of way because I've done it before. The first time I had to kill a product, I mean, I perseverated, you know, I mean, this was, you know, days and maybe even weeks of just like stress and like, what do? We spent all this money to build this thing and, you know, to kill it now would just be an absolute travesty. But, you know, over time you learn, hey, listen, there's things that you have to do. Yeah. You know, you have to kind of chalk up the losses and kind of get your head back on straight and move forward and try and get the wins because you're not going to win them all.
Totally. Yeah. And Google, I mean, for everything to be said about Google Plus, and I don't know the ins and outs of it, obviously, but they pushed that for years.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't like here, try it for a month or two. And like, they kept just pushing and I mean, everybody has a Gmail account. So they instantly had users, but the adoption, I guess, and it was, it's an interesting one because Google typically, I mean, they're notorious for coming out with new littler products and just dropping them, like just drop the nope.
Yep.
And that's how they figure stuff out. Right. But Google was a big, like Google Plus was a big one.
Yeah. I think they put a lot of energy into that one. And I think they very begrudgingly shut it down.
I think so too.
Was separated from YouTube.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the first step, I think, to shut it down.
It's not going to be around for long, but yeah.
Exactly. So, Josh, there seems to be a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they want to make something big, they have this just calling to make a difference in the world, or as mostly seems to be the case with my guests, they find they simply cannot work for someone else anymore.
Okay.
Could you tell me which side of the fence you fall on and when you discovered this about yourself?
So I think from the beginning, I was always the entrepreneurial type. My family were all entrepreneurs. You know, I worked for myself out of college. I was trying to find my place in the world, just, you know, experimenting with different ideas and different things. I was in the entertainment business. I was a prop trader. I got a real estate license and was a realtor and, you know, I mean, tried all sorts of stuff. Ultimately ended up falling into a job. I fell into teaching. I got a sub teaching credential to do it just to make a couple bucks on the side and got a gig. And that one day gig turned into 4 years of teaching full time. But while doing that, I kind of launched this business, Bigger Pockets. And at first, I didn't build it with the intent of having the second thing you talked about, which is this passion to change the world, so to speak. It was really out of necessity. I was having a semi-failing rental business thousands of miles away, and I needed help. And so this business was designed out of complete selfishness to help me become more successful and stop losing money. And nights and weekends, I was, you know, plodding away on it. And ultimately, I started to see other people getting value from it and realized, wait a second, there's more here. This is not just something that is this selfish endeavor. I'm actually helping people. And if I continue to kind of work at it, I'm going to help change people's lives. I'm going to help them be more successful. And that's, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, the stick-to-it-ness. I've been at this almost 11 years. And I've had many times where I've looked at it and said, wow, this is not going where I hoped it would go. And this is really too hard. And I'm not making enough money and I'm working 80, 100 hours a week. I got to stop. The thing that kept me going personally was the fact that I knew I was helping these people. I was getting emails and calls from people whose lives we were changing for the better. And, you know, that's really one of the big things that helped me through the really hardest times, the lows, and there were lots of them.
Wow. And all right. Can you maybe clarify? So Bigger Pockets is, it helps people with real estate, right?
It's sure.
Forums and such.
Yeah.
But how, and you had a selfish problem where you had an issue with real estate, right? With rental business.
Yeah.
How'd you make that connection to others doing that? What business were you creating yourself to selfishly help yourself, but then also helped others?
I feel like I'm in this weird matrix of non-understanding your question. No, I totally understand your question. But that was a hard question. I wanted to build a rental business on the side. I had had a background in building websites.
Okay.
And so when I looked at the landscape of the information space for real estate investor information 10 and a half years ago, what I noted was there was not a lot of information that spoke to me. The information that existed was information. It was all the get rich quick real estate guru guys who kind of, they own the landscape. They didn't own every website, but every website was kind of, you know, they were affiliate marketing and kind of working together. And so everybody was kind of in bed together. And you know, I kind of feel like I want to shower when I kind of deal with that side of things, the guru side. And I said, there's nothing around here that I feel I believe in, I can trust, and I feel comfortable with. And so I just built a forum because I knew enough about it, the internet, and I had been around a while. I built a forum with the goal to help me out. And this thing was starting, you know, over time, it started to make a little bit of money. I had some ads on it and things like that. And you know, I realized that maybe there was something there. Now, granted, I've been told by lots of people in the early years, you know, you're crazy. What are you doing? You know, you should shut this down. And I probably should have at the time. I probably should have. But, you know, we came to a few tipping points that really started to energize the business and grew it. And, you know, today we've got this business, you know, so we've got a social network that we built. We've got a, you know, a forum. We've got dozens of writers who write for us every week. So we've got this, you know, this pretty sizable blog. We've got the top podcast in real estate. We've got a publishing company with, you know, three of the top 10, top 15 real estate books on Amazon. So, you know, we took this idea of helping Josh be successful with his real estate business and transformed it to, let's build this vertically integrated company that has content, community, and tools to help people who are just like Josh was and help them become more successful. And so that's what we do. And you know, we do it in what I believe to be a pure way. You know, it's not about the upsell. It's not about getting people into these, you know, $1,000 boot camps and $50,000 trainings. It's about like, you know, hey, anybody and everybody should be able to invest in real estate. And it's, you know, we wanted to democratize the information space. And I think we've done that. We've opened the books and there's no secrets. There's no such thing as a secret in real estate investing anymore. And I think that's the beauty of what we've done.
Wow. That's impressive.
Thank you.
So short answer, you started literally from a forum to get answers for your questions.
Correct.
That's awesome. And then at some point in there, you decided to change it into just helping you to a vertically integrated company that is now a publishing company, a publishing house, a blog, a podcast.
Yep.
Wow. That's impressive. That's
Thank
a
you.
Good transformation.
Thank you.
Because most people don't go from solo entrepreneur to that.
Right.
They get kind of stuck in the day-to-day, right?
And I got stuck in the day-to-day. I was stuck in it for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was stuck in it for 8 years. I mean, I was teaching special ed high school in Los Angeles. I was doing this nights and weekends for 2 years. Then I quit. And then I spent the next couple of years just building this kind of, yeah, I wasn't even building a business. I was just focused on like, hey, like community, let's build this community and make it strong. And I'm making money on the side, not quite enough to survive, but my wife is working and making a lot of money or enough money to keep us going. And all of a sudden years passed and my lifestyle business, which was this cool concept of like, I've got my own business. I can work whenever I want, wherever I want, which, and it was true, but I was now working 80 to 100 hours a week, and it didn't matter where the hell I lived. I was so glued to my job that was my life. And so, you know, we had kids and, you know, I started to kind of look inwardly and say, wow, this is crazy. I need to get out of this. I need to, and I didn't understand the working in versus on your business concept until I hired a consultant and said, what's going on here? What am I doing wrong? I'm busting my chops, doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, and yet I'm still working like a madman. And one of the things he said, one of the many things was, you know, yeah, this is not a lifestyle business anymore. You need to transform or die. And that's what I did. I you know, started to bring on the people I needed to bring on to lighten the load for me and to actually help scale the business, and started to hire. And, you know, that was almost a little over two and a half years ago. And today, you know, we went from me and a developer, which is all we had. We're up to 19 people now.
Wow.
So
nice. So you hired a business coach.
I hired a consultant to kind of look at the business. This was a short-term engagement.
Yeah.
To look at the business, help break down the business, look at me, help break me down, and look at the website and help break down the website. Because we had, I talked earlier about killing products like it was nothing. He's the reason that I killed products for the first time. So we looked at the website and we killed probably 3 to 4 pretty major products that at the time, I mean, I had spent a large percentage of money into these things, and it was much harder to kill off than it was this chat thing that I did, even though I probably relatively spent the same amount of money, but we're actually more successful. And obviously, you know, it's easier to let something like that go. But yeah, so he was pretty, you know, he didn't tell me what to do,
right,
but he helped me find what I needed to do.
Gave you clarity, sort of the outside perspective, right? It's hard when we're in it.
Yeah.
Like right inside of it.
Absolutely.
Have you since then used any other consultants or coaches?
I have not. I would like to.
Yeah.
I've looked for mentors. I've looked for advisors. I've had a hard time finding them, to be honest, which is kind of, I don't know, it makes me kind of sad, to be honest. I mean, I think it'd be great. You know, I've got other entrepreneurs that I know that I turn to for advice, and, you know, we kind of help each other with things. But, you know, I think it's nice to have, whether it's a board of advisors of people who have been there, or just, you know, a consultant that, or somebody you can kind of turn to. I mean, internally we do it.
Right.
And we all kind of, you know, throw these things around, but it is nice to have that outsider. And so I don't have anyone now, but if you know somebody, you know what I'm saying?
I was actually being selfish.
Call me.
No, I was being selfish and seeing if you knew anyone. It's an interesting thing. Lots of my guests do have coaches and have had them all throughout and regard them very highly. And then there's others who are just very much against it and have tried it maybe, but just don't like the way it went.
Yeah.
We don't like being told what to do.
No.
Oftentimes. We're kind of stubborn in our ways.
You mean entrepreneurs? Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Right.
Okay. So earlier on, Josh, you told me your one thing is that you don't give up. You have that fortitude, right? To just carry on. Now, every blog post, every expert is talking 80-20. Do 20%, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, delegate all of the rest.
Yep.
Could you please, Josh, tell me something specifically that you are not good at in your business?
Everything. What
you're
am
a
I good at?
Great podcaster.
So now, seriously, you want to know what I'm not good at?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I've gotten pretty good at delegating. I was not good at that. I was, in fact, terrible at that. I had to do everything. I had to have my finger on everything. And that's scary. I will tell you, that's exceptionally scary. And now it's funny. I walk around to the folks in the office and I'm like, hey, what are you working on? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh yeah. And what have you guys just done? They're like, yeah, we just launched this. I'm like, oh, that was a great idea. You know, but they couldn't do that without the direction, right? I mean,
right.
You know, we meet up regularly and we talk about it, but I don't need to be micromanaging everything that everybody's doing. As long as we're on, you know, everybody knows their mission, you know, we can all kind of move forward independently. You know what I suck at? I don't suck at it, but I hate it, is hiring. I think I'm pretty good at hiring, but I'm so anal retentive and methodical about it that it just takes forever to do. And, you know, we need to hire a bunch of people right now. And it just, like, I dread it. I hate going through the process. It's a pain in the neck. And I know I'm not alone as an entrepreneur, but maybe I'm not good at it. I mean, my results are good, but I think it's a pain in the neck. I hate it. What else am I not good at? You know, I used to love writing content, loved writing content. I used to love doing the design side of things. You know, I like big picture now. I really love doing the big picture. I like less kind of the real nitty gritty stuff, which is fascinating. So as I've grown as a CEO, I think, you know, I like more the bigger picture CEO stuff than I do the nitty gritty. And so when I have to do the nitty gritty, sometimes I just want to pull my hair out.
Can I go back to being a CEO now, please?
Yeah, just leave me alone.
Well, I wondered actually about the design, because on your bio, it says like web designer. That's like, I think it's entrepreneur, web designer.
Yeah, I'm not.
There's a few other things in there. And I was like, wow, is he still like don't touch design. This is me. I'm.
I mean, I still have considerable input
right.
in what we do, but I'm not doing mockups anymore. I'm not doing any of that. And, you know, my team does a pretty good job. And so I tell them what I want and they do it. And then we kind of decide on, is it good? Is it right? Is it kind of what we're looking for? And we go from there, but I'm not actually doing the work anymore.
Yeah, fair enough. And the first thing you said was you're not good at delegation. So does that mean, do you have a manager sort of in place now for these?
Oh, no, I wasn't good at delegation. I am good at it now.
Oh, so that's what you weren't like, oh, okay, I got to put somebody in place to delegate tasks out and manage these people.
No.
You do that. I just learned how.
I had to. It was trial. Yeah. Well, so remember, it was me by myself. I had a developer working for me. So it was me and a developer, but I did it.
That was your first hire, was the developer.
That was my first hire. And I've had developers for many, many, many years because, you know, I outgrew my usefulness in terms of programming. I was a hack, to be kind to myself, in the beginning in terms of building code. But so I've always kind of had a single developer around. But then it came to, hey, all this other front end stuff, the business, the community, you know, all the writing, the manage, you know, all this other stuff that we do, you know, building products and tools and, you know, speccing stuff and so on and so forth. I was doing it all. I was doing ad sales and market. I mean, you're an entrepreneur and frankly, I was fairly solopreneur. And so I had to do it all and it got crazy. So I hired my first guy and, you know, the first thing I gave him was content. You know, you take over content. You got this. You're amazing. I trust you. Handle it. And then I realized how good he was. And I said, okay, well, cool. I also need some help with community. So kind of take over this part of community. And, you know, he, Brandon, who works for me, he's my co-host on the podcast. We've kind of built for him this entrepreneurial role within the platform. He kind of comes in, helps systematize certain parts. You know, he hands it, I hand to him, he kind of develops further, hands it off to other folks, and we kind of keep going and have this cycle. And yeah, that's not the only thing he does, but, you know, it's, we've kind of built this unspoken process. And so, you know, next we're, you know, we've got content, we've got community, now we're getting tools and working on the tools and improving them. And so, you know, you take ownership of this tool. Cool. So now what do we need to do? We've got, how do we growth hack and how do we do this? And so a lot of what we do is just this collaborative learning. And then we kind of figure out, hey, my hands are so tied up. I've got 6 jobs. I like these 5. Let me get rid of this one. Let's hire somebody to take care of that one. We bring them in and then they get 2 jobs and 3 jobs and then the same thing. So it keeps kind of the cycle going where everybody's getting more and more responsibility. We're growing. And then as they kind of get their hands full, we try to pawn it off to the next layer, person, level, whatever you want to call it.
Nice. So everybody kind of has multiple sort of roles, except for like a developer probably is a developer.
Yeah. I mean,
we've got a designer, but you have these sort of entrepreneurial, like you said, roles, which is really interesting. That's a great way to run a business that is like still growing probably quite rapidly.
Yeah. I think
you kind of need that.
It's pretty exciting. It keeps people motivated, gets them pumped up and gives them opportunities that, you know, they may not have at another type position.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, Josh, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on something I'm toying with calling the entrepreneurial gap. So as entrepreneurs, we are always pushing and looking forward, right?
Sure.
1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the line, we set goals. When we get there in 6 months, when our business does that, we'll be successful when we get there. Before we even get to those, usually we set 5 or 10 loftier ones into the future, and it's always forward, 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 which obviously we have to keep pushing forward. But oftentimes I find we fail to stop and look at where we've come from, look at what we've accomplished, and sort of just analyze it and see how we feel. So I would love right now, Josh, if you could stop, turn around, and look at where you've come from, what you've done, what you've accomplished, and just tell me how you feel about it.
Is this where I cry?
I'm hoping.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Well, it's been a lot of fun.
I don't know if you can't see this, but John is about to spit the water out of his mouth as we have this conversation. You know, I do this enough. I do the introspective thing, and I think it's really important. when I said I'm going to build this into something cool in the very beginning, I looked up and I saw a few websites and they were huge and they were amazing. And I was like, wow, what if I can accomplish what they're accomplishing? And, you know, a couple of years later I did. And, you know, and then all of a sudden was the next thing and the next thing. And I think the trouble with entrepreneurship is it's an addiction. It's like a disease. You know, I'm not quite going to say we're a bunch of cokeheads because I know I'm not, but
most of us are dead.
You can kind of liken it to that. You know, you get a little taste. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I got to have more. I got to have more. I got to have more. And so, you know, I was excited when I had my first user on the site. I was excited when I had my 10th. I was excited when I had my 100th, my 1,000th, 10,000th, 100,000th, and so on and so forth. But at the same time, I was like, oh, well, you know, okay, we just did this. Let's 10X that sucker. What's next? And, you know, has that allowed us to grow? Absolutely. I couldn't be happier with where we are. I'm ecstatic. I mean, I never in my wildest dreams would have imagined that this little hobby that I was running on the side while I was teaching special ed on nights and weekends, I'm building this thing just for fun. Who in the world would have imagined that I could have done this? And I think that says a lot about the world we live in, you know, having those abilities through the internet. I think it speaks about our country, you know, the land of opportunity. Anybody can really make it, you know, if you work hard. And so, you know, I'm really happy with where I am. In 5 years, 10 years, would I like to be somewhere further down the road, whatever that means? Yeah, of course. You know, would I like this thing that I've, my baby, so to speak, would I like it to become something even more incredible than it is today? Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I'm never going to be satisfied, but I can stop and look at where we are and say, yeah, you know, this is pretty cool. I mean, we're affecting millions of lives and we're helping people find financial success, helping people quit jobs and build wealth for their families and find time to spend with their kids. I mean, that's a pretty cool job. So I love it. I'm happy. And I don't know if I answered your question, but if you don't stop me, I'm going to keep going.
No, you totally, totally, totally answered it beautifully. That was great. Okay. And I love that it's grown to something big, but it all started with, I just wanted to build something cool on the internet. That's how you started. That's literally what you said. That's so awesome.
Absolutely.
And earlier you said how when you did want to just do that and you said that to people, people thought you were crazy and told you you shouldn't. And you didn't listen. And now look at what you've done. That's awesome.
I had friends who would literally, yeah, some friends. I remember a friend of mine would call me, or I don't remember if I was texting then, and bust my chops. He's like, hey, Josh, I just saw Penny on the street. I was walking around. Let me mail it to you. I mean, you know,
thanks.
That was mean.
Thanks for that.
but like, you know, entrepreneurship, like, you know, everybody hears about these companies that get all this money. Most entrepreneurs are, you know, we struggle. Yeah. It's really hard. And, you know, I think that should be honored, that struggle. And I think to be able to go through that and come out successful on the other end and build something is to be commended. And there's so many people who, and I'm not talking about me, but just in general, there's so many entrepreneurs who go unrecognized. And, you know, I would love it if the industry and whatever that means, like tech would, and non-tech as well, would recognize those people who are doing great things in their own respective spaces without the recognition, because there's a lot of them and it's hard to get there. And there's so many small businesses in this country, and, you know, we should applaud them because they drive the economy. Well, in our little country and yours as well. Mm-hmm. I forget that you're up there up north.
In that other little country above you guys.
Yeah, it's little, right? It's tiny.
It's small. Yeah. All right, Josh, this has been a lot of fun. And I would just like, we've talked about your business in passing. Could you tell the listeners specifically where to find out more about you and about your business?
Perfect. Yeah, sure. So you can find me, the best place to connect with me is on Twitter. I'm all over the web, but I usually don't connect with people on other social platforms unless I actually know them. But Twitter is the best place. You can find me at Twitter/JR Dorkin, Dorkin. And the business is Bigger Pockets, www.biggerpockets.com. Check out the Bigger Pockets podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, everywhere else. And we've got a bunch of books on Amazon. Check out Bigger Pockets there as well. And while I'm talking, make sure to jump on iTunes and leave some ratings and reviews for John here, because that is what helps podcasts grow. Subscribe to his show. you know, help him build this thing out even more. And I don't know. He didn't ask me to do that, but there you go.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Josh.
Yeah, sure, man.
So yeah, I will link to you on Twitter. I'll link to your podcast and to biggerpockets.com in the show notes, so they're easy for listeners out there to find. So once again, Josh, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. And please just keep doing what you're doing with Bigger Pockets, because it's really awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Josh, thank you so much. I've said this before, but I usually judge the quality of the conversation that I just got to be part of by the number of times that I break out laughing. And going back and listening to this one, I did that a lot, which means I don't know, for some reason that engages me on a certain level when laughter comes out of me. I have to be paying attention. I have to be really involved and sort of really drawn into the conversation, which is a good thing. So Josh is a smart man that said a lot of smart things. He's built a really, really amazing business based around something he wanted to see existing. And so I go back through the conversation. There was something near the beginning that he said that was really, really, really good, but it wasn't that one thing. And listening back to it, I had to go to almost the very end. He pretty much just said it. And it was something that's very, very crucial. And it was that one thing that we need to go back to. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
When I said I'm going to build this into something cool in the very beginning, I looked up and I saw a few websites and they were huge and they were amazing. And I was like, wow, what if I can accomplish what they're accomplishing? And, you know, a couple of years later, I did.
And that's the hack. Yes, yes, yes. A couple of years ago, Josh was like many of us. We have this passion or this drive or something, a market or a place we want to work on something that matters, work on something that really truly has an effect on others. And oftentimes, as is the case nowadays, and was the case back when Josh started too, was we look at that space or that market and we'll see other people that have huge, amazing businesses or sites within that space. And the gap sometimes seems so far from where we are, stopped, not quite started, not sure what to do next, to where that person is. And it almost seems like it's an insurmountable amount of distance, but it's not. But it is if you expect overnight success, if you expect to just do something quickly and have it just pay off instantly. It doesn't work like that. I've worked with this before, this whole live in days, which is the last question where this answer came from, and then work in months. It's very, very important that you realize to build something big, to build something huge, like Bigger Pockets, like Josh did, took years. It took years of putting his head down, but he had that end goal of where he wanted to be. But he just started taking the steps and doing the work every day, every week, every month, every year to get there. And now he's there and he's at the top of the space. These aren't insurmountable distances. They look as though it is sometimes when we look at where we are and where we want to be. When I started a podcast last year with Hack the Entrepreneur, there's Pat Flynn and there's John Lee Dumas, an entrepreneur on fire. This is the space that I was entering and they had these, what seemed like an insurmountable gap between where I was and where they were and where I wanted to be was there. But I started. Now I'm 1 year almost to this day into it and I'm so much closer than I ever was to that distance already. It's amazing. It's shocking that it can work, but it's been a lot of work constantly day after day after day doing it. But the distance isn't insurmountable. And so, Josh, you said a lot of other really smart things and you are a brilliant entrepreneur. But I really need to bring that home because I just love that, how you had this thought process and how you wanted to be there. And then a couple years later, there you are. And it was very, very well said. And I thank you so much for that, Josh. And I thank you just for joining me. So that's it. It's been a lot of fun. As always, I thank you so much. If you would like, I would love it if you would. I would love a rating and a review on iTunes. I've got like 13 last week and it blew my mind. I get goosebumps reading them. I love it. I really, really, truly do. Only one person left me their Twitter handle at their name so I could go and thank them, but I would love it if you did. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes will take you straight there. You don't even have to be on an iPhone. You just have to have iTunes or an account or something. But go there. Do it. I would love it. It'll take you 5 minutes and it would mean so much to me. So yeah, hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes will take you right there. Or just go to iTunes and type in Hack the Entrepreneur. I'm sure you know how to find it. You're listening to the show. All right. Thank you so much. I truly do appreciate you taking the time. I know you have a lot of options out there to listen to, and I do appreciate you just stopping by. It's been a lot of fun. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.